on the discipline of fasting. We this summer have been looking at spiritual disciplines or exercises toward godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 says, but rather exercise thyself unto godliness. And we've looked at several different areas of discipline that we can work on in our lives. And I've slowed down just a little bit with fasting, maybe because for myself it was an area that was like, that was for Bible times and not for now. But have recently been convinced that it is a biblical discipline that we should get into our lives in some way. We don't have to do twice in the week and pray out loud and let everybody know about it. But it is something that we should prayerfully and in submission to the Holy Spirit work into our lives. Before we go any further, though, I did want to update you on our Sunday school offering. Our class's offering goes to about four different things throughout the year, and during the summer, our offering goes to go into a fund to help us help people send their kids to the academy. Whether it's children who come through the bus ministry that want to come to our Christian school in some way or other qualifications, but we use that money for that, and we up to last Sunday we had $1,345. For this summer, and then we have today's offering, and then next Sunday's offering will go toward that, and then we'll be into our fall campaign, and after that we'll have a different thing that we'll be giving toward. But just to give you that update on this summer's offerings. So, we've been talking about fasting, and I need to just quickly, since we have a lot of visitors, and I always try to review to get us up to where we're going to go for the day. First, the Bible describes, we call it, different types of fast, kinds of fast. There'd be a normal fast, and would involve abstaining from food, but not from water. A partial fast would be limiting your diet to maybe one thing, like Daniel and his friends had pulse and water. That might be something else for you, but limitation of diet, but not from all food. An absolute fast would be not having food or liquids, even water. And then the Bible does describe what we would say are some supernatural fasts, and that was when somebody doesn't eat food or water for more than 3 days, like Moses did when he went up into the mountain for 40 days and didn't eat water or drink. So God supernaturally sustained him through that. Then, who fasts? There's a different fasters, different groups of people that fast in the Bible. Lots of times, most of the time, it's what we would call a private fast. An individual is fasting for some reason. But other times, there's a congregational fast. There's a group of people that together fast. The Bible also speaks of a national fast. How often do we see them in the Bible? There was, in the Old Testament, one regular fast, and that was annually. The Day of Atonement, the people of Israel, the children of Israel were to afflict their souls, as the Bible says, and so they would fast for that day. After the captivity in Babylon, the people of Israel added a few more annual fasts, and they ended up with four fasts annually. In the fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month, they fasted for a day. And, of course, like I already mentioned, the Pharisee had got himself so spiritual that he fasted twice in the week, and he also told everybody about it. But mostly, they are occasional fasts, meaning on some occasion, something comes up, and so people fasted. The enemies are, you know, a huge army is approaching Jerusalem, and so there was a national fast. Ezekiel is taking a group of people back to Jerusalem, and they decide to fast and pray. There's an occasion that brings up the idea of fasting. And so for most Christians today, a fast that you might observe, let's say, would be a normal one of abstaining from food, but not from liquids or water, private, not part of something else, and occasional. Something the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, something burdens you, and you say, I'm going to add a fast to my prayers for this. Fasting defined is when a Christian voluntarily abstains from food for spiritual purposes. A lot of people do intermittent fasting and things like that just for their health or for their weight control. That's not a biblical fast. It's not unbiblical, and it's not like everybody's sinning that's doing that, but it's not, they're not doing that for a spiritual purpose. What we're talking about in these lessons is a biblical fast, which would be a Christian has to do it. There's no reason, you know, you don't fast in order to be saved or whatever. So a Christian has to do it. It is voluntary and it's for a spiritual purpose. Of course, we can use the word fast to describe abstaining from anything else. That's just fine to do as a Christian. But the Bible, when it talks about fasting, is referring to food. We said already that fasting is expected. Jesus expected that his followers would fast. In Matthew 6:16-18, he said, he began that section of his Sermon on the Mount, "Moreover, when ye fast." He assumes that we'll fast. Before that, he said, "When ye give alms, when ye pray," and then he says, "When ye fast." So the other two things we kind of recognize that those are things that Christians still do. And so we teach that this is also something we should do. There's no scripture saying not to. We know that Christians after Jesus was gone in the book of Acts fasted on various occasions, right? It's occasional occasions. And so we can conclude that he still expects us to fast on various occasions. In Matthew 9:14-15, he was asked why his disciples didn't fast. And he said, "Well, I'm here." Basically, he said, "I'm here. But when I leave, when the bridegroom is gone, then they shall fast." He gave us instructions about fasting in the Sermon on the Mount. First off, he gave a negative and a positive, like don't do this, do this, and then a promise. When we fast, we're not to look like it. We don't, you know, put a placard on and say, "I'm fasting today," or we don't act in such a way so what people would wonder, you know, and ask you or something like that. Then the something to do is to make sure, and this is, sounds almost like a negative, but no one else should know that you're fasting. Now, we mentioned that if you're, you know, a husband could probably tell his wife, you know, so she doesn't make this great meal and he just snubs it for spiritual reasons. You know, that might cause some strife in the home. But the idea is that we're not letting people know. We're only letting those that it would be courteous to let them know. But we're not announcing it, as Jesus says. But then Jesus said, "And your Father which sees in," I'm not quoting, in private, "will reward thee openly." So Jesus promises rewards for those even that fast. How often? The Bible doesn't say. Jesus didn't say. It's not a work. It's not a legalism. We don't want to be legalistic about it. Like I have to do it twice in the week or every week or something like that. I would say though that it is a discipline though, and disciplines take some working into our lives. If you've never fasted, I encourage you to fast for a regular time. Otherwise, you come to this lesson or come out of this lesson and say, "Oh yeah, I should fast someday." You know, and then 7 years later or whenever somebody else mentions it, you say, "Oh yeah, I remember that. Have I done that since?" It has to become a discipline. Somehow get it into your life with some regular frequency, and then once your body has learned what it means and you have learned physically and spiritually what it means, then you're going to be more attuned to saying, "Oh, I think I should, the Lord's leading me to fast over this circumstance." How long? That would be up to the leadership of the Holy Spirit too. The Bible describes many different lengths of fasts. So, we need to hurry through these last points, but the point of today's part of the lesson is that fasting is to be done for a purpose. The purpose is not losing weight. It's not building ourselves up. It's not feeling more spiritual. It's not earning any favor with God. We don't earn favor with God by things that we do. We earn favor with God because we're in Christ, and God is completely pleased with what he's done for us. with his son. So, but we have to have a purpose. Otherwise, we're like that guy that I've read his little thing the last 2 weeks. He's just waiting until the clock strikes 12 and then digging into the cabinets and the refrigerator. When we look at the Bible, we can see someone else who did the work here, and I'm sharing with you, found 10 major categories of reasons that people fasted in the Bible. We should do it for at least one of these fasts. And as we look at the passages and I explain them quickly, you'll see that they overlap. Sometimes a fast was for several different things, several of these at the same time. And again, as I said, it's never to earn God's favor. We're already acceptable in Christ. So the first reason to fast is to strengthen prayer. And this is kind of the one that can, all the rest of them kind of are part of this, we might say. But Ezra, I said Ezekiel earlier. Ezekiel did it too. Anyway, but Ezra said, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. So they were praying, and they fasted and besought God. They were going to, this fast strengthened prayer. It sharpens the edge of our intercessions. It gives passion to our prayer. And when there's a special urgency, it's biblical to add fasting to our prayers. It's not, and we have to be careful because we're flesh and we want to think this way. It's not a spiritual hunger strike that forces God to do what we want him to do. But we're humans. We think, I even fasted and he didn't give me what I wanted. Right? I even fasted and he didn't answer my prayer. That's not what fasting is about. It's not a hunger strike, but it does add urgency. It does strengthen our prayers. The next reason that we might fast is to seek God's guidance. In Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. In Judges, after the people had lost the battle twice, after the second defeat against their brethren, Benjamin, they prayed and fasted. And after that, God gave them directions on how they could win the battle. Fasting, so when you have a big decision, it can be good to fast to help you be in tune with what the Lord could teach you through the scriptures. It does not fasting just because you fasted. You say, well, I've thought about this a while and whatever. If you're ignoring what the Bible says and you add a fast so that you can say, well, I fasted, so now I know I'm doing what I wanted to. That's not the truth. You know, fasting doesn't ensure the certainty of receiving like clear guidance from God. But it does make us more receptive to God, and he loves to guide us. Fasting helps us express grief. So in 2 Samuel 1, David heard about Saul's death, and he and the people with him mourned, wept, and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan. Excuse me. Three of the first four references in the Bible to fasting are with expressions of grief. Judges 20, which I mentioned already, they were grieved because they, by that time, had lost 40,000 men. So they were looking for direction, but they were also in grief. And also, 1 Samuel 31 is also with the death of Saul, but it's other people, the men of Jabesh-Gilead, I think. They took Saul's bones and buried them under a tree and fasted 7 days. Grief caused by events, even other than death, can be expressed through fasting. Christians often have fasted because of grief for their own sins. I want to get through this list, so I don't have time to go all through all of these. But again, grief over our sins is not penance, but it can help. But if we're grieved over it, we can fast along with that grief to better express the grief. We could fast to express grief over our own sins. We can also fast to express grief over other sins. Jonathan fasted. He arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, or because of David's danger, because his father had done David shame. So he was grieved over something else. This is what a national day of prayer and fasting have been called by many of our leaders over years past, not any time recently, I would say, which would be more reason for us to fast individually. Another reason the Bible shows people fasting is to seek deliverance or protection. I mentioned the people of Israel. Jehoshaphat has a large army coming against him, and he was afraid. He set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast to ask for the Lord's help. Same thing with Ezra, when he had proclaimed the fast there at the river of Ahava, that they might afflict themselves because they told the king they didn't need any help, but the travel was going to be dangerous. And so they're praying. They strengthen their prayer by fasting, but one of the things they're praying for is for protection along the way. Esther, you remember her asking all the people of the place where the palace was, Shushan, to fast so that she could be protected as she went in before the king. David said, I think it was David in Psalm 109, my knees are weak through fasting. So fasting for protection might not always be for national issues, could even be for ourselves. Fasting, rather than fleshly efforts, should be one of our first defenses against persecution from family or schoolmates or neighbors. We get into certain circumstances where somebody is attacking us, whether verbally, slandering, or something like that. Our flesh says, I'm going to defend myself. But the Bible says the Lord will be our defender. And if it's a violent or if it's a severe attack, it would be good to say, Lord, I need your protection. And maybe that's an occasion for the Holy Spirit to guide you to fast. Instead of political maneuvering, gossiping, and imitating worldly tactics of our enemies, we could appeal to God with fasting for protection and deliverance. Another reason to fast would be to express repentance and return to God. In 1 Samuel 7:6, they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. This is similar to fasting because of grief. But repentance is a change of mind resulting in a change of action. It can also signal a commitment to obedience. In Joel, the Lord said, turn ye even unto me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. We remember the story of Nineveh. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast. They were from the king, from the greatest to the smallest, expressed their repentance, among other things, but with fasting. We should remember that it can be vain without actual repentance. We say, oh, yeah, I messed up. I'm going to do a fast. And then we're just planning to mess up the next day. That is human reasoning. That is like, I can please God, I can cover for that if I just do this or do this or do that. That is legalism, working to please God or whatever. So if we have persistently hardened our heart to God's call to deal with a specific sin, fasting over it without real repentance is a mockery. It's a perversion of fasting to try to use it to balance out some type of other activity. We could fast to humble ourselves before God. In 1 Kings 21, Ahab did this. We always think of Ahab as this evil king, but Ahab came to a point in his life and God heard it, saw his humility, and he still punished his family, but he held off the evil on himself. It came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth or humbles himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. David, of course, humbled himself with fasting the same way. Psalm 35:13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. My prayer returned into my own bosom. Fasting itself is not humility, but it can be an expression of humility. There wasn't any humility in that Pharisee who fasted twice a week. There wasn't humility in him when he said, told everybody that he fasted twice a week, and I don't think there was any humility on those 2 days when he fasted. He was like, I'm a faster, whatever. I don't know what he said, but there wasn't humility there. So just because fasting isn't humility, but it can help us express humility. We can express concern for the work of God. Nehemiah, when he heard about what was going on back in Jerusalem, the remnant were left in captivity in great affliction and reproach. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Christians can pray and fast because they feel a burden for the work of the Lord. In a broader scope, in a particular area, I could imagine a bus captain or anybody who's the leader of a ministry being impressed upon by the Holy Spirit to fast for that ministry. Maybe not like every week, but something has come up. There's a family on the route or something. Or for our church, we, 15 months ago, we need a new pastor. That would be a time to have some fasting. Whatever ministry it is, whatever work of God it is, the Holy Spirit could impress upon a believer that this need that this work has, could while you're praying about it, you could fast for it. We can't. There are needs every day in ministry, so we can't fast continually. That would be a supernatural fast, and there's only been one or two or three people in the whole human history that have done that. But another reason that we could fast is to minister to the needs of others. I don't have time to read all seven verses, but in Isaiah 58, 1 through 7, God emphasizes that fasting there was for the purpose of meeting the needs of others. How can you minister to the needs? They were to fast to meet other people's needs. And we could do that. We could fast for one meal a day and use that time for ministry. You could fast for one meal a day, and if you normally purchase that meal, you could use that money for ministry. You could fast so that you can give to the poor or some ministry with the money that you would have spent on food. There's ways we could go with this along in a lot of areas, but this is a biblical reason to fast, to help you minister to the needs of others. Another one would be to overcome temptation and dedicate yourself to the Lord. We might all immediately have already been thinking about Jesus. He went into the wilderness for 40 days, and after that he was hungered, and the devil came to tempt him. But he was strong. He's God, but he gives us this example of being prepared spiritually for the temptations of the devil by having fasted. It was also a time where he came out of the wilderness and he went into his ministry. So we could see that as a time of dedication of himself to the work that God had called him, sent him for. We know then there's times when we may be facing temptation, and praying about it is good. The Holy Spirit could guide us to also fast about it, to strengthen us for temptation, or to help us be more resolved, or to strengthen the resolve that we have of dedication for the Lord. We face decisions that place unusual temptations before us. Should we take that new job, which will mean more money but less time with our family or ministry? Should we accept a promotion that means you've got to move to another part of the country, end a ministry where you are, or would your family's spiritual growth may suffer? These are big temptations and big decisions. And these would be times where fasting could be, I hesitate to say, I don't mean use, like I'll just pull this out and use it, but it could be, fasting could be included in your prayer over those types of decisions and temptations. And the last one to mention is that fasting could be used to just plain express love and worship for God. The Bible tells us about Anna. Remember Anna, the widow who came and saw Jesus, and it just describes her as someone who loved the Lord but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. It can be expression of finding our pleasure in God himself and not in food. It can help us express to the Lord that the stomach is not our stomach is not our God, as the people in Philippians 3:19 had. In relation to this, Christians have historically, and I'm not saying in every tradition, but many times Christians have fasted in preparation for the Lord's Supper. They've learned that the Lord's Supper was going to be observed, and to help focus themselves on what the Lord has done, they would fast even in preparation for the Lord's Supper. So we mentioned that these were 10 purposes. Fasting must be done for a purpose. We talked through last week where the Bible teaches that in Zechariah 7. They said, should we keep fasting? And God said, why were you fasting? That's the thing that's important to him, is the purpose. Why are you fasting? So, as we finish, will you confess and repent of your fear of fasting? There's just something about saying, I'm not going to eat for the rest of today, or I'm not going to eat today. We shouldn't fear the blessings of fasting. Will you fast as the Holy Spirit directs? Not as I direct, not because I said it, but you think the Holy Spirit would direct you. Are you willing to obey him when he does? God can prompt us to fasting by when we have circumstances in our lives. Stronger prayer about a matter, that's an invitation to fast. God's guidance for an issue, that's an encouragement to fast. Do you need deliverance or protection? You've got received an attack spiritually or emotionally or whatever, that's an invitation to fast. Will we do it? Of course, and I should be careful here, some of you might need medical counsel. Okay, if you're a diabetic or something like that, it's not just a spiritual issue. It's your body. It's food. So if you need medical counsel, make sure you do that. Even if you've never, and even if it's just that you've never fasted before. Don't go on a 7-day fast if you've never fasted before, okay? Just start with one meal. Just skip one meal. Dedicate that time to extra prayer, to the purpose that the Lord is leading you to. Or two meals, or whatever. The idea is not that you torture yourself, right? The whole idea is that when you feel the pangs, when your stomach says you're hungry, your mind says, I'm hungry because. One of 10 reasons, or several. I'm hungry because I need prayer. I need the Lord's guidance on this. I'm hungry because I'm expressing my love to the Lord. I'm hungry because I want the Lord to know that I'm turning from that activity and I'm not going to do it anymore. Whatever, there's some reason. So the hunger is not the spirit, is not the grace, is not any benefit to you. It's what it reminds us of. And so if you skip one meal, you get hungry. I mean, if you eat like me and you could skip a meal and not even know it, you might need to skip more than one meal. But skip a meal, skip two meals, and the hunger comes to you. It's like, thank you, Lord. There's a reason I skipped that meal, and it's because I want to know you better, or because whatever the reason is. Start somewhere. Don't look for loopholes. I described the loophole that I had in a previous week, but don't do that. Fasting hoists the sails of the soul in hopes of experiencing the gracious wind of God's Spirit. And now, will you plan to do it? Say, what for? Dedicate yourself to doing what the Bible teaches is true. Just get one in. One that's for a biblical reason, not because Pastor Vogelin said or some other pastor said, we ought to fast. Okay, sure, I should fast. When's 12 o'clock coming? Will you do it? Figure out a time. Look in your calendar. If you're a diabetic, talk to the doctor. Don't hurt yourself physically, but it's a good thing. Now that we've finished the lesson, I'm challenging you. Find out a time when you can do it, so we can work this activity, this discipline, into our lives. And we have gone really long. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. Help us to not do what I say, but help us to see what your word says and submit ourselves to how your Holy Spirit leads us in this activity, in this discipline also. Please bless the rest of our morning. In Jesus' name, amen.